What to you is the most striking, the most dramatic story, the most heart-rending story in the New Testament? I would have to say it's found in Luke chapter number 15, the story of the prodigal son. I do not know, because I rarely go back and listen to any of my sermons. Once in a while, I take out a tape and listen to one of my sermons. Once in a while, I go back and look at the list or the notes of my sermons for 34 years as pastor of this church. I would have to say that I have probably preached as many times from this subject as any subject that I preached on. It's the greatest story that I know anything about in human terminology. Luke chapter 15, I'm going to begin reading at verse number 11. I shall read down through verse number 24. Stand with me, please, in honor of the reading of God's Word after we pray. Heavenly Gospel according to Luke chapter number 15, I begin reading at verse number 11. And he said, "A certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, 'Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me.' And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husk that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, 'How many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father and say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants.' And he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion, and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto the father, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son.' But the father said to his servants, 'Bring forth the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand, and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.' And they began to be merry." Thank you, and you may be seated. The story of the prodigal son could be staged in any country, on any continent in the world today, in any period of human history. Today, 1995, as much as was true 2,000 years ago, this story can be told with tears, with heartache, with agony, with anguish. The very first family on earth had a prodigal. Almost every family since Adam has had a prodigal, a wayward son, a wayward daughter. Today and every day, somewhere, in some way, in somebody's home, this story will be reenacted and this drama will be played out. The lessons to be learned and the inspiration to be captured are priceless. There is no piece of literature in all the earth to match this marvelous story. And I've entitled it today, Lost and Found. I'll take it right out of the text of verse 24. He was lost and is found. I want you to know today, if you're lost, number one, that God loves you. And Jesus died for you. And you can be saved. You don't have to remain in a lost condition. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Come unto me, all of ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your soul. The blood of Jesus Christ has enough power in it to wash all of your sins away. Now, if you're in the lost category this morning, if you've never been saved, if you've never trusted Christ, I want you to know right up front that God is able to save to the uttermost all that come to Him. No exceptions, no reservation, no hesitation, no ifs, ands, and buts about it. God is able to save to the uttermost. And I want you to know that the Father is waiting for you. If you're here today and you have had the experience with God, you have been saved, you have been born again, you have trusted Christ as your Savior, but you're a prodigal. You've drifted. You've gone away from home. You've gone away from God. You've gone away from mother's knee and from daddy's instruction. You've left your first love. You've drifted into a far country. And by the way, you can be seated on this pew this morning and be in a far country. If indeed you are today disturbed, hungry, naked, unhappy, bothered, burdened down with sin and mistakes and faults and failures, and I want to ask you, who doesn't have them? But if you're here today as a prodigal, a son or a daughter, whatever the case might be, the love of God is greater far than tongue or pen could ever tell. It goes beyond the highest star and reaches to the lowest hell. And I want to tell you, God's not about to get a lash out and put a reprimand on you this morning. He will kiss you on your neck, even as the father did the prodigal son. Now, if you're wondering what it used to be like in the days of the Bible, and I'm certain that this story comes out of a real life story. If you're wondering today what it might have been like 2,000 years ago, in the lands of the Bible, let's see what it might have been. Probably about like your home and mine. Father, mother, children, work, worries, problems, joys, peace, happiness, discomfort, comfort, night, day, hard times, good times, pleasant times, unpleasant times. All of life is about the same. Listen, geography and time does not make that much difference in what's happening in your life and mine, removed 2,000 years ago or 10,000 miles away. So I want you to look with me at several things this morning. Just one, two, three, four, just simple. Number one, I see in this picture a typical ranch. A father, head of the family, with sons, working in the field, taking care of the livestock, much in the same way that it's done in many areas of our country and many parts of the world today, a typical ranch. Look at verse 11. And he said, a certain man, that could be any man, that could be you, a certain man had two sons. Here's a typical home with a typical family, a typical existence, a typical lifestyle. A certain man had two sons. And I see in the second place a belligerent request. Look at verse 12. And the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. Now, we understand that the father, upon the death of the head of the home, that the inheritance went to the children, to the oldest son, and then divided, as it were, down the line. But here's a young man who apparently had reached the place that some of you reached, or maybe some of you are reaching now, some of you young men. When you get the idea, well, mother and daddy are getting a little bit old, and I can't have the fun that I used to have, and they're just holding me back. I can get out on my own, and I can paint the town red, and I can enjoy my life while I'm young, live high, die young, have a good time while it lasts, philosophy. So I'm just going to pick up and get what's coming to me. Oh, by the way, if you and I had what was coming to us, we'd been in hell this morning. Don't tell me what belongs to you. Don't make your demands on me. Don't make your demands on God. Don't make your demands on mother and daddy. If we had our just desserts, we would have all awakened in hell this morning. And I want to tell you, young man, young woman, and this goes for all of us, the moment we get the philosophy that begins with those words, give me, we're in trouble. Give me, give me, look at me. I'm young, I'm bright, I'm brilliant, I'm muscles, I'm everything. The girls just love me. They just can't wait till I get out there among them. Give me, Father, that portion that belongs to me. And like any good daddy, he did, according to the last part of verse 12, he divided unto them his living. I see in the third place a sad removal. Look at verse 13. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country. A sad, sad day. When a young man thinks within himself that he's strong enough, powerful enough, educated enough, whatever enough, to go out and say, world, here I am. Look at me. I've got money. I've got prestige. I've got power. I've got what it takes. I kind of feel that this may have been the attitude of sad, sad removal. Many of you can remember when you first left home. I shall never forget. And I did not leave under bad circumstances. I left to come to Fort Worth from my home in Danville, Virginia, when I was 18 years old. I came to enroll in the Bible Baptist Seminary under J. Frank Norris. I'll never forget the day that I left home. I was riding in a car with another young man and his wife, two children. I was single, a man, his wife, two children, and an older man who was coming to enroll in the seminary. And I remember, as the car pulled away from the house, and I looked back, and my daddy and mother stood there, waving goodbye. You know, if I had broken their hearts, I was going off to study to be a preacher. But it was a sad time. It was a sad hour. Under the best of circumstances, it is a sad hour. I shall never forget, all the way down the street, we were in an old 45 or 46 Plymouth. And you remember how the windows used to be in the back? They were about that big. I mean, it looked like they were about that big. You could barely see out of the back window. I was in the back seat. As long as